Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra begins at the upper part, the top of Kuf Yud Beis Omid Aleph. Before beginning the shiur, we highly recommend printing out the daf. Let us glance at the outside margin where you see the topic heading, Nosei Kloli, the general topic, Hasavas Nachlo, the transfer of property in Eretz Yisrael from one tribe to another. HaTorah B'Soif Sefer Bamidbar Oymeres. The Torah tells us at the end of the fourth book of the Torah, Sefer Bamidbar, tells us She'ish Mishevet Echad Lo Yisa Isha Mishevet Acher. That a man who is associated with one tribe should not marry a woman who comes from another. Kedei shelo ligroim ha'avoras nachlo mishevet shelo. So as not to cause the transfer of property from one tribe to another. Let us restate this more accurately by rereading our introduction. We mentioned Hasovas Nachla Hatura Basof Sefer Bamidbar Oymeres Sheisha, that a woman that comes Mishevet Echad Lo Yisa Ish Mishevet Acher Kedei Shelo Ligroim Havoras Nachla Mishevet Shelo, that a woman who comes from one tribe should not marry a man from another tribe so as not to cause transfer of property from her tribe to her husband's tribe. The specific topic at hand is mentioned in the next heading, Nosei. Hasovas Nachla Al Yedei, the transfer of inheritance from one tribe to another can happen through, number one, we'll see here, Ben Hayoresh Esimo, and then a little further down in our introductory note, we'll see Baal Hayoresh Eshtoi. So, number one, transfer of property could, in theory, happen through Ben Hayoresh Esimo, Kegoin, Gever Me Ruvain, Ludugma, man from the tribe of Ruvain, Shanasa Isha Mishimon, who married a woman from Shimon. Binom, their mutual son, Shemiyuchas Liruvain, the son is associated with his father's tribe. Pasuk says, L'mishpachoysom leveis avoysom, where children are associated with fathers with regard to tribe identification. So their son is Miyuchas to Ruvain, Yirash Imoy Mishimon. When his mother dies, and if she comes from Shimon, a different tribe, any property that she happened to inherit from her side will, in effect, be transferred to Ruvain because her son is identified as from Ruvain. A second situation of Hasovas Nachla. Number two, Baal Hayoresh Es Ishto, a husband who inherits his wife. HaGemora Dona Basheila, the Gemara will deal with the question, Haim Ho'isur Nisuin Mishevet Leshevet Biglal Hasovas Nachla Al Yedei HaBen, is the prohibition of marrying out of the tribe, where the Torah says, warns a woman not to marry a man from another tribe, is that because of the Hasovas Nachla, the transfer that happens as a result of their son, Sheyoresh Es Imoy Shehi Mishevet Acher, as we described above, where the son inherits his mother, and the son being from a different tribe than his mother, Oy Gam Ipnei Shabal atzmo yoyresh es ishto, or is the prohibition of the woman from one tribe marrying a man from another tribe the prohibition of hasovas nachla because of the husband himself inheriting his wife? Ubekach husav nachla, and through that the nachla gets transferred. As we turn to the Gemara, we notice that at the top of Kuf Yud Beis, we are going to be picking up from the second line at the end of a Tanaic source that had begun on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Tanaic source there had a list of psukim, as you can see if you have a Gemara Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in front of you. On your screen, you can scroll back to the previous Amud, and you'll notice there a series of double underlined psukim. And as we were learning the source, we're getting an impression that all of the psukim are designed to teach us that a husband inherits his wife. In truth, one doesn't really need multiple psukim to convey the very same point. Therefore, the Gemara here asks the question, what do I need all of these psukim for? We notice some geometric forms that require some attention. The diamond form will be surrounding the chitema. Each point here will be addressing the issue of why I need a subsequent pasuk. And hence you can see a list of these vichitemos because of the multiple psukim that we had. In addition to that form, we also notice a double underline with dots in it, of course to distinguish these from the previous double underline series. These are going to be, once again, citations of those psukim and what their new role would be. With that having been said, we continue in the Gemara. Mai v'oimer, what is the necessity of having each one of those subsequent psukim that were noted on the previous omid with the double underline, omer, v'omer each time? The Gemara answers, v'chitema, you might have thought to say that the first pasuk, which said, as we glance back, it said there, v'chol bas yereshes nachlum mimatis b'nei Yisrael le'echad mimishpachas beis avia, a woman who is inheriting property, namely she had no brothers, so she is in line of inheritance of her father's property. When she marries, she is to marry a man from the same tribe as her father. So one might have thought that the reason for that is because of Hasavas HaBen, namely her son. If she were to marry a man from a different tribe, her son would be identified with that different tribe. And the Torah's warning against Sofas HaBen, the son being the cause of the transfer of the property to another tribe. The Gemara continues. Let's read that line again. V'chitema b'sofas HaBen kokopid kra avol ba'al lo yoris. One might think that the posuk is warning against the potential of the son causing transfer of property to another tribe, but that from that first pasuk there is no proof that a husband inherits his wife, which of course was the purpose of bringing those psukim in the first place. So maybe the first pasuk doesn't fulfill the design purpose of Rabbi Yishmael to bring a source that a husband inherits his wife. Okay, therefore, Toshma, we bring in the second pasuk that was cited. V'lo sosuf nachlo livnei Yisrael mimate lemate. The woman is instructed, marry a man from the same tribe as her father, so as not to cause property transfer. So what do you see from that? That if she would marry a man from a different tribe, the husband would inherit her and cause the transfer of the property to his tribe. So we would see from that second pasuk that a Baal Yoresh es Ishto, that a husband inherits his wife. Ah, but maybe not. V'chitema, it could be that psukim numbers 1 and 2 are referring to Hasavas HaBen, the son being responsible for transfer of property. And you'll ask, what do you need 2 psukim for? La'avor olov belav ve'aseh. One pasuk would represent the violation of a lav, of a negative command. That would be the pasuk that says veloi sosuv. And the first pasuk would be an instruction of a positive nature, an aseh. So that it could very well be that both psukim are focused on hasavas haben. And a woman who would violate the teaching, the halacha, and marry from a different tribe, she would be violating a negative precept and a positive precept, but no indication of husband inheriting. Toshma, therefore, we resort to a third pasuk. Loi sosuv nachlo mimate lamate acher. So that pasuk would indicate husband inherits his wife. V'chitema, one might say, no, I can't rely on that pasuk either to be a source of husband inheriting his wife and potentially the cause of transfer of property from Shevet to Shevet, because v'chitema lavor olov b'shnei lavin v'aseh. That third pasuk would be added to the first two, all referring to hasavas haben, and simply telling me that a woman who violates this law of marrying into the same tribe as her father, and if she would opt to marry a man from a different tribe, she would violate 2 negative precepts, that's Shnei Lavin and the original positive. Therefore, Toshma, we resort to a fourth pasuk, the Elozer ben Aaron meis v'chulei, and from that pasuk we saw possibly that Pinchas inherited his wife, which would be evidence that husband inherits wife. V'chitema, one might reject that as well and say Elozer hu denosiv itza. Elozer married a woman and she died, v'yorsa Pinchas, and the son inherited his mother. But no indication that Pinchas inherited his wife. Therefore, Toshma, the fifth pasuk, usgoiv hoylides Yoir. And we said over there, how could it be that Yoir has cities that were not owned by his father, Skoiv, and we tried to explain that Yoir inherited his wife. Hence, that would be an indication that husband inherits wife, which is what Rabbi Shmuel was trying to do on Kufyud Aleph Omid Beis. V'chitema, and if you try to say, no, I can't rely on that either, Hosom Nami Hochihu, the story there was that Yoir inherited his mother. In Cain, if you try to push off that final pasuk, then I will ask you, Trey Kroy Lomali, what do I need to psukim to tell me the same story that the son was inheriting his mother? So at this point, we would like to say that at least one of those psukim would indicate that a man inherits his wife. As you can see in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, namely to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled, you notice we're about to start a long question. Rav Papa asks Abaye, Mimai, Dilma li oilam ema loch baal lo yoris. That a husband does not inherit his wife. Ukroi besivas haben kedishaninon, and the psukim that we cited in that source were all referring to son inheriting his mother, and there lies the potential for transfer from one shevet to the other. The Yoyir Dizovin Mizvan, and as far as the story with Yoyir is concerned, how did he have properties that Sgoiv, his father, didn't have? It's simply because Yoyir bought those properties. O Pinchos Nami Dizovin Mizvan, and Pinchos as well bought those properties and buried Elozer, his father, in one of those purchased properties. But once again, to review the main point, no proof that husband inherits wife. Amale Abaye responds, Pinchos Dizovin Mizvan Lo Motzvis Amris, to suggest that Pinchos purchased property and buried his father in one of those purchased properties, can't say that. Because if you would suggest such a thing, Nimse Sode Choyzeres B'Yoyvel, purchased properties, there is a law governing them that says that when the Yovel year appears, comes on the scene, purchased properties are restored to their original owners. If that be the case, the Nimtza, the Gemara says, Tzadik Kover B'Kever Sheinu Shelo, that the Tzadik Elozer was buried in a grave that's not in his own property. Namely, you would have a situation where be some stranger owning the grave in which Elozer was buried. And that can't, that shouldn't be. It's not right. Therefore, at this point in the Gemara, Abaye is rejecting the Emo that had the diamond around it with the colored in top. So Abaye is rejecting that point. Namely, Rav Papa's attempt to question the proof, so Rav Papa's question is rejected. Elo Emo, but we come back with another question. Elo Emo, denoflo le miste haromim. As far as Pinchas's ownership of property, okay, I accept the idea that Pinchas didn't buy the property, but maybe it's property that Pinchas got as a result of dedication of property. Haromim is a situation where a person says, Hare Sodezu Cheirem, and by making a dedication, a Cheirem dedication, the property goes to the Kohanim. And those properties do not get returned in the Yovel year. Therefore, there would be no disrespect in having Elozer buried in property received by Pinchas through the Cheirem institution. However, if I dismiss that pasuk, I'll be left with the original point that there's no proof from this series of psukim that a husband inherits his wife. We encounter now a section of Gemara that has a bracket around it, a few lines. These brackets are not for the purpose of skipping. The note on the inside margin indicates the reason for these brackets. So grayim elu einom l'shem dilug, elo l'tachem, rather to serve as boundaries, shegirsas shuros elu shonui b'machloikes rashbam v'toisvus, that the way to read these lines is subject of a machlokes between the Rashbam and the Toisvus, and there's a suggestion for those who want to take advantage of it. Ayin Toisus Dibar Masel Emo Ad Omud Beis, that particular Toisvus, the Toisvus, the necessity to learn the Toisvus is such that you would have to go to Omud Beis. The Od Ayin Rabbeinu Gershom Ad Omud Beis. Rabbeinu Gershom is found on the lower part of the inside margin. And there too, his commentary goes to Amud Beis, Od Ayin Sefer Shita Mekubetzes. One can refer also to that Sefer for further explanation of the Sugya. Before we go on in the reading itself, we'll also just note briefly that there's a geometric form, the volcano form, which represents a, in this case, a ma'akav, a tracking of the Gemara, tracking it play by play. The Abaye's point is made with the narrow point facing up, and with the narrow point facing down, there will be a response to Abaye's point. As you can see, the Gemara has this in several stages. Before we go into the Gemara itself, let us note the introductory remarks that are included in the outside margin under the heading Nosei Hemshech, a continuation of the topic. Up to this point in the Gemara, we've been dealing with the issue of Hasovas Nachla, transfer of tribal property from one tribe to the other. Rav Papa is of the opinion that from all of the sources that were cited in the last source, there's no indication that Hasovas Nachla takes place through husband inheriting wife. If there's any problem, it would be through son who inherits his mother. And if a woman would marry a man from a different shevet, the son would be responsible for the transfer of his mother's property to another shevet. Let us read our note on the outside margin. HaGemora mevareres ba'ayo. The Gemara is going to clarify a problem. Raises a question. De afilu im toimar shehatoira osra ba'oisat kufa shaknisas la'oretz legever mishevet ru'uvein ledugma lokachas isha mishevet Shimon. Even if you say that the Torah and its prohibition during that era of entrance to Eretz Yisrael for a woman to take a man, let us say he's from Shevet Reuven, and he is not to take a woman from Shevet Shimon, Lokachas Isha Mishevet Shimon, Mechashash Deimhi Tamus B'chayov, if she were to expire in his, the husband's lifetime, Chelko Benachlas Shimon, her holding in the tribe of Shimon, you avar l'Reuven, would be transferred to Reuven. Soif soif, afilu lefi takonos haTorah, even with the Torah's consideration, the Torah's ruling, namely that a husband, that a man, or that a woman should not marry out of her shevet, let us say that she adheres to the Torah's teaching. This woman, who's Yoreshes Nachla, marries a man only from her husband's shevet. Nish'ar ba'ayoshel hasovas nachla, there still could arise a problem of property transfer. Al yidei Yerushas HaBen, through the son inheriting, kegoin, Begever Meruvein, Shenoso Isha, Sheovio Meruvein. Imagine a man from the tribe of Reuven marries a woman whose father is from the tribe of Reuven. Avo imo shelo hoisomi Shimon she nisu beheter. That marriage was okay. Why was it okay? As we've noted, the Bishas Nisuin Hoya Lo Achin, that particular case was a marriage of a woman from Shevet Shimon to a man from Shevet Reuven, because at the time she got married, she had brothers. So she wasn't a Bas Yoreshes Nachla. The Oiso Isha, the Mikre, she Yoreshes Es Imo. That woman, in the event that she inherits her mother, kagoin she'ein lo achim, for example, that her brothers died before she died, b'soifel shel davar b'no yirash oisa, at the end of the day, it's going to turn out that her son, remember, just to make the story a little simpler, this is a woman whose father, a woman whose father was from Reuven, married a man from Reuven. But at the end of the day, her son is going to inherit her. Nimso shenachlas Shimoin shel hasavta. This boy's grandmother was from Shimon. Oiveres l'Reuven will end up getting transferred to Reuven. So once again, even if one adheres to the Torah's teaching, man from Reuven marries woman from Reuven. But who are the parents of this woman? This woman has her father from Reuven, her mother's from Shimon. How could they have gotten married? We'll refer to them as the grandparents from the mother's side. How is it that they could have gotten married? And that's through the fact that the woman who was from Shimon was not a Bas Yoreshes Nachla. She wasn't a woman inheriting because she had brothers. So with that having been said, we become aware of the potential of the grandson eventually inheriting property from Shimon, even though the parents did what the Torah said. The father from Reuven married a woman whose father was from Reuven. Omar Abaye, Soif Soif, Ha komis akra nachlo mi shivta de imo le shivta de abo. After all is said and done, you could have a situation where property from the mother's side is transferred to property. Namely, when we say mother's side, we're referring to the shevet from which the mother came from, to the shevet from which the father comes from. As we said before, in the example of a woman whose father was from Reuven, her mother from Shimon, and we said that that marriage was legitimate, was acceptable. She married a man from Reuven. When they have a son, that son eventually will end up inheriting his grandmother's property, the grandmother being from Shimon, the grandson being from Reuven. That's Abaye's problem. The response to that is, Umimai, who says that that has to preoccupy you? V'dilmo shaini hosam shekvar husba. The reason that that's okay is because the transfer of the property was not from the basic marriage. In other words, it was not a problematic marriage. The basic marriage of that of the woman, namely the woman whose mother was from Shimon, her father was from Uvain. The marriage there was not a marriage of Hasovas Nachla. We can say that the Hasovas Nachla set in only as a result of that grandmother's brother's dying and then leaving her in the position to inherit. But at the time that she got married, there was no problem. Omale, Abaye says back, Shekvar husva lo aminan. We don't rely on that. That issue, or that heter, if you will, of kvar husva, that it was already transferred over in a memela fashion, is not something to rely on. At this point then, Abaye would be telling us that a man who's from Reuven, that marries a woman whose father is from Reuven and mother from Shimon, presents a problem. Amar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi, I amris bishlamo shekvar husva. If you say that the kvar husva is not a problem, hainu de mesukma kra, bein besibas haben, bein besibas habal. We can establish the psukim as not being concerned with akiras nachla, with the uprooting of inheritance from one tribe of another, from one tribe to another, of the mother's property, whether it be as a result of the son inheriting or the husband inheriting. Elo I amris loy amrinon shekvar husva. However, if you're going to take the opinion of Abaye that we don't rely on the heter of kvar husba, ki mintsiva li echod mi mishpaches mate avio mai have, if she does what the Torah says, and she, a woman, marries a man from the same tribe as her father, so what have we accomplished by that? Homis akro nachlo mishifto de imo mishifto de abo. At the end of the day, we will find that there's an uprooting of inheritance from her mother's tribe. We were using in the example up till now, her mother was from the Shevet of Shimon, will end up getting transferred to the Shevet of her husband, Shevet Reuven. What are you going to say now? Or what will Abaye do with this? Abaye has a solution. Demansavinon law legavra, if you have a woman that her father is from one Shevet and her mother is from a different Shevet, and as we explained before, that particular marriage was never a problem because when that woman got married, she had brothers. The problem arises only later on, and that's what we've termed kvar husva. Nevertheless, we have a solution. The woman whose father is from Reuven and mother is from Shimon shall find a man, de'avui mishifto de'avua, that his father is from her father's Shevet, v'ime mishifto de'ima, and that his mother is from the tribe of her as her mother. With that, we will find that the family background is simply recreated into the next generation, so that you have all of the pedigree being maintained, and hence This is the situation that Abaye will tell you is what the Torah would not object to. Or in other words, this is the situation that the Torah is insisting upon. Therefore, what is the Torah saying to a woman? That the woman who comes from two Shvatim must choose a man whose parents reflect her background, the same two Shvatim. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that be the case, what are we going to do with the psukim as they appear? Ihachi, hai li echod mi mishpachas mate oviha viimo mi boyale. The Torah should say that she should marry a man that comes from the same tribe as her father and her mother. The pasuk doesn't say that. It says the pasuk says li echad mi mishpachas mate avia alone. It doesn't say mate avia viimo. We answer that in truth we are concerned that she marries a man from both sides, namely from the tribe of her father, and his mother should be from the tribe of her mother. It couldn't though have said it like you just suggested at the top. If the Torah would have phrased itself as was just suggested, Havi Amino, I would have got the wrong impression. I would have thought incorrectly. I would have thought that even if you were to switch around the mother tribe and father tribe on her husband's side, that would have been okay. Komash Malon, the Torah therefore tells us by not saying Oviha V'imah, just by saying Oviha, that the woman has to replicate on her husband's side exactly like her background. The Gemara continues by telling us that we have brises that indicate that Hasavas Nachla can take place both through the son and through the husband. The Gemara at this point is taking a certain type of stand which is new to the spirit the Gemara conveyed on Omid Aleph. Let us glance at the Rashbam toward the bottom of the page. Tanya b'sibas aben, Tanya b'sibas abal. Kloimar, afalgav de ukminon lahani trei kroi. Even though up till now we've set up the psukim that we've seen, number one, lo sosuv nachlu levnei Yisrael mimatel ma'umate. That was in Bamidbor lamid vov pasuk zayin. And number two, v'lo sosuv nachlo mimate lemata achir, that was in Bamidbor lamid vov pasuk tes. Travayu besibas haben ulishnei lavi. Up till now we saw those two psukim being used as referring exclusively to sibas haben, to the transfer through son inheriting, and to tell us that there would be two violations of negative mitzvahs, of negative precepts, of lavim. Kidik otoni v'omer, as we saw in the source that started on Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Beis, and there was a series of psukim brought one after the other, introduced each time by the Omer. Afilu hachi, even so, Ashkachon Brises Demuki Lekama B'sibas Aben Uletinyona B'sibas Abal. We find other sources that split these two psukim. Posuk Zion referring to transfer through son inheriting, and posuk number two, transfer of property from Shevet to Shevet through husband inheriting. Let us continue in the Gemara. Before we read the text, though, we're going to take note that the source that appears here is labeled as source number one. In the source, you see diamonds surrounding Besibas HaBen and the second one, Besibas HaBaal. On the next Amud, we will see another source on Kuf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph. If you have it available, then scroll ahead. If not, of course, if you've ordered your personal volume of Bava Basra, it'll be all the easier to see. On Kuf Yud Gimel at the top, there's another source, which again has in it two diamonds, again with the expression Besibas HaBaal and Besibas HaBen. There's an order change over there. We'll take note of this phenomenon in the ensuing dapim. Being that said, before we go further in reading the Gemara, though, let us glance at the introduction that we provide through the Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We have a diamond that appears, Besibas HaBen and Besibas HaBaal. Those are the two expressions found in the diamonds. HaGemara Mevi'a Shnei Brises. The Gemara will present, as we said, two Tanaic sources. Shekol Echad Doresh Pasuk Zayin Besibas HaBen. In both sources, we will find that Pasuk Zayin is associated with son being potentially responsible for property transfer from one shevet to another, and hence the Torah warns against marrying out of the shevet. Pasuk Tes Besibas HaBaal, and both sources will refer to Pasuk Tes as husband potentially being responsible for transfer of property from one shevet to the other. How are we to know that Pasuk Tes refers to Besibas HaBaal and Pasuk Zayin to Besibas HaBen? That is something the Gemara will deal with later. For our purposes, though, let us continue with source number one. V'lo sisoiv nachla livnei Yisrael mimata el mata. This is Pasuk Zayin, as has been noted. Besibas HaBen HaKosuv Medaber. The Torah is instructing the woman not to marry a man from a different shevet than her father, because if she would, so the son that they bear would cause the transfer of her property, she being from one shevet, to the other shevet, namely the shevet of her son. As we mentioned earlier, the son is identified with his father's shevet. The source goes on, Ata oimer Besibas HaBen, o eino ela Besibas HaBaal. You're saying that Pasuk Zayin refers to son being responsible for transfer. Maybe, though, it's referring to husband being responsible for transfer. Therefore, Kishu omer, v'lo sisoiv nachlo mimata lemata acher, according to this source, Pasuk Tes is obviously referring to husband transfer. Hare Besibas HaBaal Omur. It is poshut to the Tana of this source that Pasuk Tes is addressing transfer through husband. Ho mani mekayim velo sosuv nachlu levnei Yisrael mimata el mater. So what am I going to do with Pasuk Zayin that says be careful not to cause transfer? Besibas HaBen HaKosuv Medaber. We'll say out of default, Pasuk Zayin must be referring to something else, namely to transfer through son. With that, we end our shiur for today.